I'm delighted to say that joining us here on World Football Daily, slightly later than expected, but here nevertheless, he is a man that knows all things about English football and the Premier League. Yes, when it comes to football journalism, it's no laughing matter, despite what his name suggests, of course. It's Mr. Sammy Mockbell joining us here from the Daily Mail on World Football Daily to talk through all things Premier League and the build-up to a big weekend that sees Manchester United taking on Chelsea. Sammy, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How are you doing today? I hope you've had a very happy new year, mate. I hope it was a good one.
And Johnny, how are you, mate?
I'm very well indeed. Little bit stiff from, I'm not going to lie, I went to the gym recently. I've been pumping my guns and whatnot, so I feel a little bit stiff all over. I've got a rest day today, but I'm all well, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, likewise, mate. I'm on the health kick as well, Ollie, so we're in the same boat, mate. We're in the same boat.
Start as we mean to go on with 2014. I think that's the way forward. We've actually been, we're trying to get hold of you earlier, and you've been slightly delayed because of some breaking news coming out of the Premier League. So why don't we start off with that? Because obviously it's always good to be on the ground with the men that are knowing, or in the know, should I say, when news breaks around the Premier League. What's been cracking this afternoon, Sammy?
Well, yeah, so I was trying to get on earlier, but... Roberto Di Santi, the Sunderland director of football, has been sacked. I think the club are yet to confirm it, but I'm sure they'll confirm it soon. But he's been sacked by owner Ellis Short. And what I'm led to understand and led to believe is that it's just they've not been impressed with a number of the signings he's made since his arrival. Obviously, remember he came in at the same sort of time as Di Canio did. I think it was obviously they came in at the same time, and a lot of the signings he's made have been sort of either mediocre or just been completely unsuccessful. So I think he's finally sort of borne the brunt of that, and he's lost his job, unfortunately.
When Di Canio was sacked, there was a number of people that rightfully felt that Di Canio should have gone because he was too out there, too explosive, a hand grenade in the dressing room, people described him as. But shouldn't Di Santi have also gone because he was arguably, and what we were led to believe, far more responsible for the signings that failed, that ultimately led to the demise of Di Canio's reign at Sunderland? Is this, I don't want to say is this justice, because obviously somebody losing their job is never a good thing, but is this kind of a bit of fairness after Di Canio went, and it's almost restoring a bit of parity to that balance, if you will?
As you say, Lewis, it's never a nice situation, is it, when a man loses his job? And from what I'm led to sort of understand, he's got a family and mouths to feed like everyone else has, and so it's not a nice situation. But if you look at the transfer record and you look at some of the players that he's brought in, and from what I hear from people at the club, in and around the training ground, the players are of nowhere near the quality that you need to obviously just to stay in the Premier League, let alone sort of be moving up the table, really up to mid table where Sunderland really should be. And I think Gus Poyet is now finding that out to his detriment. He's finding it quite difficult to pick up results since his arrival. And I think, as you say, to say it's fair for someone to lose their jobs is a tough thing to say. But I think in many ways there is now a level of parity given Di Canio lost his job as well earlier this season.
It's been a tough year for Sunderland, and they've got a tough game against another team that are in a bit of crisis off the pitch this week, to put it mildly, Southampton. I mean, with Pochettino at least confirming that he's staying at the Saints, that's got to be a huge boost for this side, because a number of the players have shown on Twitter that they were big fans of Cortesi, and he'll be very much missed by, I think, the fans and the players at that club.
Yes, I think... Cortesi, difficult negotiator. What would have been brilliant was to see, Daniel Levy and Cortesi doing a bit of negotiating over Luke Shaw, because that would have been one hell of a battle. Those two are the toughest negotiators out there. But he's had a hard time from some sort of certain circles within football and the press, Cortesi. But you can't deny the fantastic job that he's done there. He's taken big decisions, made decisions that sort of press myself. I even thought the decision to get rid of Nigel Adkins was wrong. But look how that's turned out. Pochettino's come in and he's been like a breath of fresh air, hasn't he, for English football. And making a massive name for himself. It's not just in the Premier League, but sort of, you know, Europe wide as well. So it's good to see that Pochettino will be staying in the, you know, with Southampton for now. But I just wonder how long that will continue for.
On the grand scheme of things, is this Southampton story almost how even the most idyllic club, so to speak, bringing through young English players can be bastardised by the money and the business of football? Because the idea is, from what we're led to believe in the press, that Southampton is a club now on the market to be sold.
Yeah, listen, money rules. Money rules. I was with Mourinho today. He was at his pre-game press conference at the United game, and he was saying, just 10 years ago, there were only maybe a handful of clubs that could afford a Wayne Rooney. But now, if you go across Europe, there's so many investors, so many clubs with so much money that there's just so much competition for the top players. And while money's involved in football, there's only ever going to be sort of one winner. There's, you know, the sentiment in football's, I don't want to say it's gone because I'm an old romantic, Ollie, but
much like, you know, myself.
While the money's there, I think the game just changed dramatically in the sense of now being a business. It's no longer about emotions, is it? It's about dollars and pounds.
It's funny that we're talking about dollars and pounds, and you, of course, saying there that you were at Jose Mourinho's press conference in the build-up to the big Manchester United game coming up this weekend for Chelsea, a club that is almost defined by the amount of money now that they throw about the place during transfer windows. This game, though, for Mourinho, a lot of talk about the mind games coming into it. Mourinho saying United are still a better club than Chelsea. Is this even necessary with this United side at the moment? Because with Rooney out, this is going to be a very tall ask for Moyes to pick up anything at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, with Rooney and obviously Van Persie out as well, it's going to be a massive ask. Where Danny Welbeck's been asked to lead the line at the moment, and he's done okay. I think he's done okay, but they're a completely different side, aren't they, with Wayne Rooney and Robin Van Persie in it. I think United are United. Listen, they're going for a bad patch, but you can never write them off. And I think Mourinho sees that, and he knows that. Hence the comments. I think there's a bit of mind games there going on. That's, you know, saying that they should still be wary of United. But I just don't think he wants his side to take his foot off the gas. Chelsea on a decent run of form at the moment, just, you know, creeping up sort of on the rails of Manchester City and Arsenal. And Sunday will be, I think, if they can get a result against United on Sunday, I can see that being a real pivotal day in Chelsea's sort of title challenge.
What does a loss do for Chelsea? Because it would put them obviously 4 points off Manchester City should City beat Cardiff this weekend. And City look unstoppable. Clawing those points back looks on paper pretty difficult.
It's going to be difficult, and that's what I mean. You know, this game will be pretty pivotal. Not only would it put Chelsea nearer, you know, to sort of chasing down City and Arsenal at the top of the table, it also push United and, you know, it seems unthinkable, pushing further away from qualifying for a top four position this season. If Chelsea lose, they're certainly coming back from it, but I think. Just for for morale and for confidence, I think if they can get a result against United on Sunday, it will leave them in pretty good stead for the rest of the season.
It's funny, you touched on Danny Welbeck leading the line there as well, Sammy, going into this big game. And when you think about Danny Welbeck, is there a touch almost of the Daniel Sturridge's with Welbeck's story? Because a player who looks very much at home down the centre of the pitch, but a lot of the time ends up playing further wide out on the flanks. And do you think he's underutilised at Manchester United in that regard?
Do you mean him playing as a striker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, he's certainly got the attributes. He's strong, he's quick. His finishing could maybe do with a little bit of work, but I think we've seen in a few weeks he's scored a few goals, and maybe, you know, he's putting that right. But the difficult thing with Danny Welbeck is that at United you've got Van Persie and Rooney who are ahead of him, to play up top, and at England as well you've got Rooney and probably Sturridge who are who are ahead of him in terms of playing as a striker, as that lone striker. So he had to be utilised out on the left or the right at times. But he's certainly got the attributes to chip in with goals and to play up front when needed. But I think when you've got Van Persie and Rooney in your squad, I don't think you have to look sort of much further for your strikers from those two.
And David Moyes as well has been doing his little whistle-stop tour, so to speak, of Europe this week, going around trying to pick up some new players. He's been warned by a number of people not to go out and go spending this January because maybe the players aren't available. Do you still see United, though, it seems that they're going to be pushing on for a big signing this January? And if so, who do you think it's going to be, Sammy?
They need... Who's it going to be? I think they need a centre-half. I think they need a centre-half to replace, obviously, the Vidic and Ferdinand. The name I've heard is a story at Calgary. Looks quite an elegant sort of Rolls Royce of a centre half. but they need the thing is, when you look at United squad, and it's hard to fathom. But I think they're way short. I think 5-6 players short of being a championship, Premier League title contending side, and it just goes to show what a great job Sir Alex Ferguson did last season is getting these boys to the title, because it's virtually the same squad, minus a few. But where he goes, the problem that Moyes will have is attracting these players, these top players to United, because at the moment, particularly if you're a player, you look at the league, if you look at their Premier League position, you're thinking, wow, I could come there now, but are we going to be playing in the Champions League next season? At the moment, I think the safe money's on saying no, they're not.
And just finally, Sammy, I know you're a very busy man, as I say, and we're running out of time with you today, but there are three big games between top sides in the Premier League, taking on the lesser folk, should we say, of England's top flight. City, Cardiff, Arsenal, Fulham and Liverpool against Villa. All big three are at home. Do any of them stumble against these, I don't want to say lowly opposition because that sounds too harsh, but with these Premier League strugglers at the moment?
Can I see them stumbling? Probably not, no. Don't see City stumbling at all at the moment. Red hot, Aguero's back. They're going to be hard to stop this season. If there is one, London Derby, Fulham at the Emirates Stadium, could you possibly see an upset there? Possibly, if Berbatov can do his work, his magic at the Emirates tomorrow, you never know. But I don't see any of the top three, the top few teams slipping up tomorrow night.
I suppose it's like exercising demons for City after that loss against Cardiff earlier on in the season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'd be bang up for it, and I think they'll put them to the sword at home after that sort of defeat earlier in the season.
Well, let's hope that the big boys can impress this weekend and we get a week of goals, goals, goals. Sammy, I know you're a very busy man indeed, so we will let you get back to the news desk as stories continue to break in the build-up to the weekend, man. But we really appreciate you coming on, taking some time out to run us through a bit of Southampton and, of course, the breaking news from Sunderland as well and a little bit of English football in general. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, Oliver. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Take care. Sammy Mockbell from the Daily Mail joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things English Premier League football as we continue our build-up to the weekend and that massive game, Chelsea against Manchester United. I just don't see...